Amos said, I was not a prophet, nor was I the son of a prophet. I was a sheep breeder and a tender of sycamore fruit. Then the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said to me, go, prophesy to my people Israel. So the message is entitled, Go, Prophesy. Also from the book of Jeremiah, first chapter. Here's Jeremiah's account. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you and ordained you a prophet to the nations. And I said, oh, Lord God, I cannot speak, for I am only a youth. But the Lord said to me, don't say I am only a youth, for you shall go to all whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Don't be afraid of their faces, that is, their looks. Don't be afraid of their looks, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. And he put forth his hand, and he touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, see, I have put my words in your mouth. I have set you this day over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and pull down, to destroy and to throw down, and to build and to plant. That's Jeremiah. Here's Ezekiel. This is Ezekiel chapter 3. The Lord said to me, son of man, go to the house of Israel and speak with my words to them. Behold, I have made your face as hard as their faces, and your forehead as hard as their foreheads. Like an adamant stone, harder than flint, I have made your forehead. Don't be afraid of them. Don't be dismayed by their looks, even though they are a rebellious house. And he said to me, son of man, receive into your heart all my words that I speak to you, and hear with your ears, and go, get to the captives, the children of your people, and speak to them, and tell them, thus says the Lord God, whether they listen or whether they refuse. Here's Isaiah. I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And I said, here am I, send me. And he said, go to this people and say. And one more, this is from the book of Acts 26. And I said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you're persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen and things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jews as well as from the Gentiles, to whom I now send you, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. And he says, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. I declared first to those in Damascus and then in Jerusalem and through all Judea and to the Gentiles that they should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting repentance. And having obtained help from God, to this day I stand bearing witness to small and great alike, saying nothing other than what the prophets and Moses said would come, that the Christ would suffer, be the first to rise from the dead, and he would proclaim light to the Jews and the Gentiles. Okay? Go and say. Did you hear that theme in all of those? Okay? Here are my words. There you have them. Speak to the people. They may listen. They may refuse. But either way, bear my words to them. Bear witness to me among the people. Amen. Okay, so tonight I want to revisit something that I said in the past about God's purpose for us in the midst of, you know, let's be honest, just like Jim said, this is a crooked and wandering generation. Okay, we have explored this idea before a couple of years ago, but now that we have talked about outreach, we've talked about the discipleship growth process and about propagating the good news. We've talked about our identity as the ones who serve as God's voice to our community and our world. Okay, I want to return to that and develop it a little bit. And what I said, and this is, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago, I said that God's people, the ones who have been genuinely regenerated and have had their eyes open, God's people ought to be speaking prophetically into the world. And I want to reassert that statement. Okay, now by prophetically, don't think that I mean predicting the future. Okay, I'm not trying to set a date for Jesus' return or anything, not like that. And I don't mean falling into a trance and saying, you know, I had a dream and I saw an angel and the angel told me to tell you there's an amazing blessing coming your way or anything like that. You know, in my opinion, there's far too much of that going on already. Amen. And in my opinion, all it really does is embarrass the church and it kind of makes the Lord's people look ridiculous. In Jeremiah, you can see that that sort of thing has been going on for a very long time. And he says, don't listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, because they speak visions out of their own heart and not from the mouth of the Lord. I didn't send them, and yet they ran. I never spoke to them, but yet they prophesy. He said, if they had stood in my counsel, they had caused my people to hear my words, they would have turned them from their evil ways and their evil deeds. And I've heard these prophets lying in my name, saying, I've had a dream, I've had a dream. How long is this going to be in their hearts? But he says, you know, let those lying dreamers tell their dreams, but let him who has my word speak it faithfully. And he says, after all, what is the chaff to the wheat? Okay, that's all garbage, but this is bread, it's the food, okay? So what I mean when I say that we have to speak prophetically is this. We know that God in heaven has things to say to this world. He has things to say about the sins of our society. He has things to say to the individual, to families, to authorities. Okay? God holds out a hand. He issues a call. He gives fair notice to the world about judgment. He makes certain promises to those who will turn. We, Christian brothers and sisters, we ought to recognize that we are the appointed channels through which those messages are going to reach those people. Okay? To me, this is far above the ordinary level of daily living on which most of our neighbors live. And, you know, I don't want to be unkind, but I frankly, a lot of our fellow Christians live on this level too. Passing day after day in trivial pursuits, okay, seeking our food, looking for pleasure and entertainment and just getting our chores done and just basically trying to avoid boredom. And it's just sort of a rather low kind of life. Okay, have you ever like sat and contemplated an ant colony or a beehive, you know, and you know how you just sort of watch them and you say, wow, you know, look at them, how busy they are, just going about their little ant lives, you know, never thinking up beyond their work, their food, their clan, totally absorbed in the routine and, you know, completely ignorant of the fact that they're out here. There's a civilization, there's science, there's the meaning of life. You know, ants never think about these things. If I can draw a parallel then, the Christian is, in a way, like that observer from above, but it's not ants that we watch. It's humanity. Okay, we can watch the world from a perspective that's on high. Okay, how do we think of how do I think of myself? Am I the same as my neighbor? You know, am I an average Joe, you know, just trying to make it through another work week? I have bills to pay, appointments to meet, family to manage, money, sleep, food, exercises, doctors, homework, okay, all of those things. Or am I a new creation? Am I a being with an existence on a higher plane than this? Do you know the word numinous? Anybody know this word numinous? So this is a word that C.S. Lewis gave an illustration to kind of give you a feel for what this word means. Suppose I told you that in the room behind me there's a tiger. Okay. What would you feel? A little bit of, you know, there's danger. We're afraid, right? We might have to run. Okay, now suppose I told you that in the room there's a ghost. Okay, and you believed it, okay? Then what do you feel? It's sort of fear, but it's not the same kind of fear. You know, you're not You're not afraid that the ghost is going to do something to you. You're just kind of afraid just based on the fact that it's a ghost. It's uncanny. It's other. You know, it brings over you kind of a sense of dread or awe. Well, okay, now suppose that I told you that here in our midst, there is a mighty spirit among us. There's a presence here. What do you feel then? That you feel a sense of, if I just said there was a presence in the room with us, you would feel a sense of inadequacy, wonder, maybe a certain shrinking. You know, I'm not able to deal with the presence, whatever it is. It's mysterious. It's awe-inducing. Okay, we should probably lower our eyes and hold still and hold our tongues. Okay, that sort of supernatural, mysterious quality of beyond the normal, the ineffable, that's what numinous means. Okay, so the Word of God says that if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Okay, he's a new thing. He's a numinous creature. We are now something above the mere physical and the material, something outside the realm of the ordinary. Okay, there's a certain wondrousness or mysteriousness about a man or a woman who, you know, the Bible says is seated in the heavenlies with Christ. Okay, a man or a woman who has been called up out of the mire, called up out of the kingdom of darkness and into, what does it say? The word is like untranslatable, his wondrous, his astonishing light, his marvelous light. Okay, I am a child of light. I'm washed, changed, consecrated, elevated. Right? I no longer live, the Bible says. Christ lives in me. And I live a life in the flesh, but I live it by faith in the Son of God. Okay, this is important, though. I'm not just above. I am above and in at the same time, right? I'm not just watching the ants down there, down the length of my nose. I am still here with them, okay? I am God's man in this place and time, okay? As such, this is who we are in Christ. As such, we are qualified and suitable to be messengers, okay? Representatives of the heavenly realm. We know God, and we know his Son, right? God was pleased to call me, deal with my sin, reveal to me strange and wonderful things that I had not known, and now I know them. And he tells me, go and pass that on. Go, son, and prophesy. I send you, okay? You still have a life in the flesh, but now it's a life that you live in and into the Son of God who dwells in the heavenlies, who is at the right hand of the Almighty, and he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I send you. I'm sending you to people whose language you speak, people with lives a lot like yours, but, you know, they just sort of live their lives down on the dirt plane. They're not thinking of the numinous, the eternal, the unseen. Okay, they don't know me, the Lord says. They're under the power of the evil one. I want you to speak to them. What I have shown you, explain it to them. Okay, that's what it says in Jeremiah. Let him who has my word speak it faithfully. Whether I tell you to tear down or to build up or to warn them or to comfort them, I share my mind with you so that you can speak it to them. I have wept for love of them, he says, and they turn away. Who will bring my words to them? Go prophesy. Now, before you say this sounds like something that somebody else should do, remember who you are. Okay, remember what God has made you through the supernatural new birth, and remember your qualifications. Okay, the Word of God says that the prophets are your brothers. Okay, your brothers, the prophets. So Amos, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Paul, Isaiah, they're your peers. Are they extraordinary? Well, yes, but only in the same way that you and I also are extraordinary if you've been laid hold of by God, you've been given his word, you've been animated and filled by the same spirit that filled them, okay, and set in the midst of a people who God wants to speak to, okay, they are your brothers, the prophets. If they're your brothers, well, then this is the family business, right? Yes, those men are extraordinary, but we're members of an extraordinary family. So stop looking at life from the perspective of the ant, which is, I think, what we're accustomed to doing. Look at it from the perspective above. Okay, walk tall. Set your mind on the heavens, not down on the ground. Right? I, too, am of this extraordinary spirit. You, too, are of this extraordinary spirit. Go and prophesy. It's not just a thing for a special limited few. Okay? We always think that, okay, those people are different from me. They have different gifts. I can't do that. I don't have that gift. Well, if you're a Christian, I'll tell you what you do have. You have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Do you have the testimony of Jesus Christ? Okay? Maybe there are some people here who answered no. Okay? If you answered no, well, then hang on a minute. You know, let me finish up with those who do. You Christians, do you have the testimony of Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Is he the master?
Yes.
Is he the Son of God?
Yes.
Is he able to save us from our sins?
Yes.
Does he love us?
Yes.
Has he blessed us?
Yes.
Was he not the one written about of old, and then God sent him into the world to fulfill the scriptures and save Adam's pathetic race from death? Of course he is. Okay, did he come out of the grave on the third day? Did he ascend into the heavens? Does he intercede for us up there?
Yes.
Is he going to judge the world and rule it in righteousness?
Yes,
yes he is. Okay, you know it. You believe it. You can explain that to people. You have the Bible to demonstrate it all. You have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says the testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. Okay, if you have the testimony of Jesus Christ, you have the qualification. You are empowered and equipped by the same spirit that moved your brothers, the prophets. Okay, here are my words. Here is the mind of God. It's the plan of God. It's the story of God and man. It's the voice of God. You have it. You believe it. You were convinced of it. Let him who has my word speak it faithfully. Okay, Peter says, the end of everything is at hand. So be serious and watchful in your prayers. And if anyone speaks, then let him speak as though speaking the very words of God.
Amen.
Okay, now that should not be that hard for you to do because you have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Go speak it faithfully. Go and prophesy. Don't be afraid of their looks. Here's my words. I'm putting them in your mouth. Now go. Peter says the time has come for judgment. And judgment begins at the house of God. But if it begins with us first, will it not then proceed to those who do not obey the gospel? Okay, and so he says, don't be afraid to give your defense. You're now a heavenly creature. You're a numinous being. You have another nature, another name. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Okay, who do you think moved the hearts and the voices and the pens of the prophets who spoke in these long ago centuries? Were they just unusually holy men? Okay, you heard Amos. I was not a prophet. I'm a tree farmer. I pick figs. I follow sheep. I have a day job. Okay, God took me. And you Christians can say the same thing. God took me. God saved me. God raised me up on high. Okay, we just sang it. Now on a higher plane I dwell. And in my soul I know 'tis well. Okay, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now, the Bible says that there no prophetic word, okay, either the ones that were written down and saved for us or the verbal things that the speeches that the prophets gave to their own generations, no prophetic word came out of the prophet's own imagination. He didn't have to rely on his own devices. It was the spirit of Christ in them guiding their thoughts, giving them soundness of speech, giving them endurance against hard-headed opposition. Okay, even Paul says, God helping me, God helping me, to this day I stand bearing witness to small and great alike. says, I've got Moses and the prophets. I have the testimony of Jesus Christ. He's the fulfillment of the word of God, the promises in the word. He is the living word. And that's all I tell people. And the Spirit compels me to do that. Okay, that Spirit that moved him, that moved our brothers the prophets, resides in you and me, and he works effectively. So go and prophesy, bear witness to the Messiah. You deliver God's instructions to them and pronouncements and his promises and his warnings. Okay, that's what our brothers did. It's the family business. Speak prophetically to the people. Okay, you today who are Christians, you're the fulfillment of a promise of God, one that he gave through the prophets, that I will pour out my Spirit on all peoples, and what? Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Okay, and again, not meaning I fall into a trance, not some guy passing out on a stage on TV, not Jesus is coming in 2024, stuff like that. Okay, what it means is the testimony of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit, through the energy of the Holy Spirit, the testimony to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and his coming rule. Okay, so to be filled with the Spirit, therefore, means to be filled with the testimony of Jesus. If you're filled with the Spirit, you bear witness to Jesus Christ. And that's what it said, we read in Jeremiah. If they had stood in my counsel, they would have turned my people from their evil ways and their evil deeds. Okay? Turn them from the power of Satan to God. That's what true prophets who are sent by God do. That's what they do. They have the words of the heavenly realm, and they go and speak them. And you'll remember where Paul said, I was not disobedient. Okay? A lion has roared. Who will not fear? The Lord has spoken. Who can help but prophesy? Okay? Behold, I have set you over nations and kingdoms to root out, pull down, to build up, and to establish. Whatever I have said, you go tell them. I've said certain people's sins will be forgiven. They'll be forgiven. Certain people's sins are going to be retained. They'll be retained. You go and proclaim that faithfully. Whoever is thirsty, I, Jesus, freely will give him to drink from the fountain of life. All who dwell in deepest sin, my hand will save. That's what the song says. Finest bread I will provide till their hearts are satisfied. I will give my life to them. Whom shall I send? And if you don't belong to Christ, listen to the word of the God of heaven. He says this, the Lord will roar forth from Zion and utter a shout from Jerusalem that will shake the heavens and the earth, but he will be for his people a shelter and for the children of Abraham their strength. Amend your ways and your doings. Turn and he will heal you. Call to him and he will answer you and show you great and marvelous things that you did not know. Blessed be his name. Let's pray.
Amen.
Lord God, our Heavenly Father, I hope I can speak for us all here, Lord, when I say that we present ourselves to you, we offer ourselves to you to do your will. We confess to you our sins. We confess to you our slowness of speech. We understand how Moses was reluctant. We understand how Jeremiah was reluctant. We identify with Amos. I'm no prophet. But we understand, Lord, that you have laid hold of us. You have bought us with your son's blood, and now we belong to you. So we give ourselves to you, Lord, to serve you. We offer our service to you. Help us, dear Father, to be a witness wherever we go that Christ is risen from the dead. He is Lord. He is coming again to judge the living and the dead. We praise you, Lord God, once again tonight. Thank you for the hope that we have in him. Thank you for the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Please, Lord, shape us. Forgive our sins. Help us to stand against the evil one. Give us wisdom for the times that we live in. And we will, Lord, open up our mouths and speak your grace and your goodness into a dying world. Again, blessed be your name, Lord God, in heaven. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.